Planning a wedding is stressful because you want everything to be perfect. Today, I'm going to share with you my experience planning my wedding and what worked and what didn't work for me. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. This is episode number 29, and I'm coming at you every Wednesday, answering the most commonly asked questions couples have when it comes to planning their wedding, and bringing you expert advice from the most amazing wedding professionals in the industry. Now, today I'm taking a little bit of a departure. Normally, what I would do is either teach you about some sort of wedding tip or trick that you need to know, or bring on an expert to teach you about that. But today, what I want to do is share with you my personal experience about my wedding planning and what worked and what didn't work for me, because I feel like to hear it from a former bride, to hear it from somebody who's been in your shoes, to hear what their experience was, brings so much value to you. So I wanted to share that with you. So I'm going to be talking about what didn't work and what did work with planning my wedding. Now, I'm going to start with what didn't work first because I want to leave this episode on a positive note. So I'm going to start with the negative things, the things that didn't really work as well as I had hoped. Now, you've heard me mention plenty of times before that I was a DIY bride, and I wore that badge with pride. I wanted to do everything myself. I was really proud of the fact that I did everything myself, and I did everything myself for very specific reasons. However, being a DIY bride did have its moments where I was just like, why didn't I just have a professional do this? It really had me question why I was doing everything myself. And so here's what didn't work when I was DIYing my wedding. So the first thing was my wedding photo album. And you heard me mention in last week's show with Nydia Lloyd from Nydia Lloyd Photography that I wanted to do our wedding album. And despite what my photographer said, and despite the warnings my photographer gave me, I was going to do it myself. And he warned me, he's like, you're not the only one to walk through my door who said that they wanted to DIY their wedding album, and it doesn't happen. But I didn't believe him. But he was right, because weeks went by, months went by, years went by, and it was 3 years after we got married that I decided, you know what? I think he needs to do this for me, because if I rely on myself to do it, it's never going to get done. So if you're a DIY bride and you're thinking you're going to do your own wedding album, listen to me, that it probably will not get done. Who knows? I mean, you might do it, but chances are it probably won't get done. And Nydia shared her same experience too. Like, she thought the same thing. She thought, you know, I'm going to do my photo album and it's going to be wonderful and it's going to be great. And she never got around to doing it either. So my suggestion to you would be definitely make the investment in getting an album made. Now, you may not have the money for it right now, which is perfectly fine. And my suggestion would be maybe put that on your gift registry or ask for it as a wedding gift. You know, sometimes your photographers have gift cards that people could buy, so they could purchase gift cards to help you pay for an album. Or maybe you could take some of the money that you got as wedding gifts to pay for an album. So you don't necessarily have to buy it right then and there when you're booking your package, but it's definitely something that you need to put money towards to get, because like I said, as much as your intentions are good to buy or to DIY your wedding album, chances are it probably won't get done. And even if you do it yourself, the quality is just not going to be the same as if you had a professional do it. Now, the other way DIY didn't work was with my invitations. And I had shared the story before, but what had happened was I had gone to a local craft store. I bought invitations, a package of invitations, and I printed them myself. Now, here's the problem. The first problem was that they didn't really have anything that kind of matched as well as I had hoped. So I kind of settled for one, a design that looked similar. It really wasn't my favorite, but it kind of looked the same. So I was like, all right, let's just get that. So that was mistake number one. If you go with a professional to do that, they're going to customize something that really fits with your theme and your colors, and they're really going to create something that you're really, really happy with. The second thing that happened was, you know, I'm printing them myself. So I had everything, I had the template all done and ready to go, and I hit print and I printed them all. And then when I was proofreading them, I mean, I proofread before I printed, like I swear everything was correct. But after I printed them and I looked at them again, I realized there was a typo. So now this not only cost me time because now I have to reprint them, but it cost me money because I have to go back to the store to get more of this template. And when I went back to the store, they literally had just enough. So if you hire a professional to do this, you don't have to worry about typos at all. In addition to that, now you're also talking about like ink too, because it took a lot of ink to print these and ink isn't cheap. So save yourself some time, save yourself some energy, and really just invest in having a professional do your invites, because they're going to take all the hassle off your shoulders. You're not going to have to worry about reprinting or anything like that. They're going to handle it for you. And again, if this is something that, you know, you just don't really have the budget for, maybe you could ask somebody, your parents, your siblings, or, you know, anybody to offer that as a wedding gift for you. Now, the third thing that didn't work with DIY, and I'm not really sure if this is DIY or not, but we didn't have a wedding planner. We didn't hire one. We didn't think that we needed one. And what had happened was the day of our wedding, the music started playing after our first group of attendants were walking down the aisle. So they were walking down the aisle before the music actually started, and they were walking down the aisle with no music. And I didn't realize this happened until after the fact, until after I saw the video. And I was, to this day, it's still such a cringeworthy moment for me, because I'm like, oh my gosh, how did we forget this? So my advice to you is, you know, if you don't want to hire a wedding planner, you know, that's fine, you know, perfectly fine. I would suggest maybe hiring like a day of coordinator, or if you really don't even want to do that, definitely make sure you assign somebody to be like the runner between who's ever playing the music and your bridal party, because that has to be coordinated. Somebody needs to be telling people, you know, telling somebody when to start playing the music and when to start walking down the aisle, because I don't want you to have that same kind of cringeworthy moment that I did. So the second thing that didn't really work for me all that well was wedding dress shopping. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love my wedding dress. It is one of my most prized possessions. But what happened was I bought my dress too early. And the reason why I say this is because, you know, first of all, wedding dresses do take a long time to come in. They take anywhere between 6 to 9 months to come in, because they're custom made to your specific measurements. There's a lot of beading involved. There's a lot of applique and lace and all that kind of stuff involved. And they're made specifically for you. So I gave myself plenty of time. I gave myself like a year and a half of time, which was actually a little bit too long, because I went to the store wanting a specific style. And I had to adjust my gown to meet that style. You know, I added sleeves, I added, you know, a couple different things to it to make it look the way I wanted. In hindsight, if I had waited a little bit longer, that style would have been in the stores. I wouldn't have had to make my dress look like something because the dress that I wanted would have already been on the shelves. So give yourself 6 to 9 months. You know, you can give yourself up to a year, but I would say anything more than a year, you're shopping too early because new trends are going to come out, new styles are going to come out, and you want something that is going to be very, you know, on trend and on point for that day. You know, like I said, you don't want to have to adjust a dress to make it look like something that you want because those styles will already be out in the stores if you give yourself the proper amount of time. The other thing too with buying a dress was that I went to one shop and I thought I have to buy my dress at this shop. I'm only dress shopping once, which was not the best way to think. You know, yeah, you might find your dress at the first shop you go to, and that's great. But just like with everything else, make a couple of appointments at a couple of different shops because every shop is going to have different styles. They're going to have different brands, and you just want to make sure that you find the perfect dress for you. The third thing that didn't work for me is not doing a proper professional wedding video. And I've mentioned this before, you know, we've mentioned this. I spoke about this with Pioneer Media a couple episodes back. A lot of couples feel like they don't really need a professional video. As long as somebody takes video, that's fine. And honestly, it's fine. Like we had that, you know, we had somebody in our family take video and it's a great video and I watch it all the time. But I think the problem comes in when couples feel like, you know what, I'm never even going to watch it, so I don't want it. You actually end up watching that video way more than you think you're going to. And while I love my video, and it's so funny because it's really like a home movie, it's really, really great. But I do have some, like, you know, FOMO over seeing these, you know, beautifully curated wedding videos, these highlight reels with music and talking and just really beautiful. So I really feel like I missed out on that. So yes, you can have somebody record your wedding, but also realize that now you're making them work on your wedding day. You know, do you want them to be a guest or do you want them to work? So my suggestion would be, again, definitely invest in a professional videographer to do your wedding video. And all I could say is, even though you may not think you're going to watch it, you actually do. And, you know, years down the line when you have kids, they're going to want to see your video too. And a video is so great because it captures not only moments, but it captures sound. So now you're going to have not only a picture of what your grandmother was like, but you're going to hear her voice. You're going to hear family members. You're going to hear so much that photos can't provide. So that was one thing. It worked, but I kind of have regrets now that I didn't hire somebody professional. The next thing that really didn't work for me was doing a day after brunch. Now, you know, a lot of couples, they kind of want the celebration to go on and on and on all weekend long. But the reality is a lot of your guests, especially if they're in from out of town, they just want to go home. You know, if your wedding is on a Saturday, they probably all have to go back to work on Monday. Unless it's like a holiday weekend or something, they're probably going back to work on Monday. So that really only gives them Sunday to travel and get home and rest and prepare themselves for the work week. So, you know, if you want to do a day after brunch, that's fine. Just be aware that you may not have a lot of people attending. A lot of people may just want to get home. And so it may not really be worth it for you to do that. The last thing that didn't really work for me was our gift registry, in the sense of that we registered for items that, you know, we thought every married couple is supposed to register for. So, you know, flute glasses and, you know, fancy china and, you know, all this stuff. So while we do use most of the stuff, probably like 90% of the stuff that was on our registry, there's about 10% of it that is still in a box. We never use it. You know, our fine china, it's great to have, But we only use it on Christmas. So for, 364 days of the year, it's sitting in a cabinet. Champagne flutes, we never use. We put some like lead crystal glasses on that list. I don't know why. I guess we just thought like that's what you're supposed to do, but we never use them. So when you're doing your gift registry, make sure that you're putting items on there that you know you're going to use every day. I'm sure wherever you go to register, they're going to give you a list of, popular registry items. That doesn't mean that you have to register for everything on that list. Pick and choose, see what you're really going to use. And if there's something on that list that you know you want that's not on that list, add it. So that, like I said, that didn't really work too well. Definitely take some time to think about what you want and what you're really going to use. So let's talk about what did work, because there's way more on this list than there is on my didn't work list. So the big thing that worked for us was time. We wanted a fall wedding. And so we actually ended up having to wait about 2 years to get married. From the time that we were engaged to the time we got married, it was about a year and I think 10 months. So we had lots of time. Now, some of you listening to this right now might be thinking, oh, I'm not going to wait that long. That is way too long. I'm not going to wait. And that's fine. Everybody has their own timeline and they know what works for them. But for me and for us, having that long engagement really worked. And here's why it worked. First of all, it saved us a lot of stress. We were stressed in the beginning when we were like choosing our vendors and making sure everybody had the same date available. And we were stressed like the month leading up to the wedding, but everybody feels that. So what really helped was the in-between. We had so much time. We never really felt rushed. We had a lot of time to do things and to think things over and to plan. So, there were times when 2 years just felt like, oh my God, is this day ever going to come? But what really helped was knowing that we weren't stressed every single moment of every single day leading up to the wedding because we had a lot of downtime. The second thing that time does and what did for us was that it gave us so much time to save money. We were planning our wedding ourselves, we were paying for our wedding ourselves, and in addition to that, we were also buying a house. So having that 2-year engagement really gave us a lot of time to save money, to save up for a really fantastic honeymoon, to save for our house, to save for furniture. It really gave us so much time to plan and it really made us feel very relaxed. The third thing that comes with having so much time, and this is sort of a byproduct of having so much time, is that you really enjoy the time that you're a fiancé. Being a fiance is a very small amount of time. It's a very limited amount of time. You're probably dating for much longer than you are engaged. And obviously you're married for much longer than you are engaged. So being engaged is a very finite window. And there's something really, really special about saying, oh, my fiance this and my fiance that. It gives you a lot of time to really enjoy being in that phase of life. It's a very special time. It's a very fleeting time. So having a 2-year engagement gave us 2 years to enjoy being a fiance, which was really, really nice. As I mentioned in my didn't work list, DIYing. And this is why it did work for me. It worked for me because I enjoy doing that kind of stuff to begin with. If you don't enjoy DIYing, if you don't enjoy crafting, if you don't enjoy making things or being creative or have the time to be creative, it's not going to work for you. So it was really helpful for me also because I was working an extremely stressful job. I had a bully boss that was on my back every single day, and I just came home, dived headfirst into all this crafting, and it was just sort of like my zen. I just zoned out and just relaxed, and it was really, really comforting for me. So that's what did work with DIY. The other thing that did work for me was not posting on social media and not telling anybody except for like immediate family right away that I was engaged, because I know it's so easy these days to just go on, take a picture, go on social media, post it, see how many likes you get, let everybody know. And it's, you know, it's such an exciting moment. You want everybody to know. But the thing is, you know, it is a very special time. And when you let the whole world know, then you kind of lose that time that you have to just sit in the moment and just appreciate what just happened. The minute you put it out to the world, it becomes everybody else's business and you lose control. So the longer you have control of the situation, the easier it's going to be for you in the long run. To kind of go along with that, the other thing that really helped us and that really worked for us was telling people right from the beginning, you know, we don't have any plans yet. We're probably going to keep it small. It's probably just family and friends only. You know, trying to sort of, we were kind of trying to buffer things because, you know, we knew very quickly, like as soon as people see an engagement ring on your finger, they're going to bombard you with a ton of questions. They're going to ask you with questions all day long. And, you know, we didn't want people assuming that they were invited when they weren't invited. And, you know, we wanted to just control things as much as we can. And so, you know, right from the beginning, we had said, it's probably just going to be a really small affair, just family and close friends. And so what that does is that actually gives you a lot more leeway. Because even if you say that, you can go back and add more people. Whereas if you say, oh yeah, you know, it's going to be this whole big thing and we're going to invite so many people and it's going to be this huge party. The minute you say that and you go to like scale it back, you're going to hurt people's feelings because people are going to think that, you know, they're going to be part of this day and then realize, oh, you know, maybe I'm not. So, you know, you have to kind of, I know it's so, so exciting to share and you want to tell everybody, but you just have to take a step back for a second. Take a deep breath and realize that you are the gatekeeper of this news. And the minute you start talking about it to a whole bunch of people, it can get out of hand pretty fast. So you want to make sure that you control that. The next thing that worked for us was not feeling like I needed to repay any favors. And I hear this a lot from couples, you know, especially brides when it comes to their bridal party. You know, they say, well, you know, so-and-so, I was in so-and-so's wedding. Do they need to be in mine? And I did this for, you know, so-and-so. Do they have to do that for me? The answer is no. Your bridal party, your wedding is your day. It is not a paying back a favor day. There's going to be other times to do that. But just because you were in somebody else's wedding doesn't mean that that person has to be in yours. You know, definitely choose your bridal party wisely. You know, make sure that you choose people who are really good friends, really good family. You know, don't feel like, you know, you need a ton of bridesmaids and don't feel like you have to have a flower girl and don't feel like, you know, you need a junior bridesmaid and a matron of honor and a maid of honor. Those are just, they're just kind of made up words. You know, it doesn't really matter. You do you. You do what works for you. You know, for example, I had two maids of honor and I had a bridesmaid and we had a ring bearer. We didn't have a flower girl. So do what works for you. And the reason why I had two maids of honor was because at the time, they were my two best friends. You know, we all met on the same day. We were friends since we were 11 years old. And, you know, it was almost sort of like, you know, picking your favorite child. You can't do that. So I just had two maids of honor and it was perfect. And so, you know, don't feel like you need to, you know, repay favors. And this kind of leads into my next point, which is not getting caught up in tradition. You know, there's a lot of tradition when it comes to weddings. But traditions are not rules. The only rule with a wedding is that you have to be married by somebody who's legally ordained to marry you. You need to get your marriage license within the time frame for whatever city or state that you're in. And you need two witnesses to sign your marriage license. That's it. Everything else is tradition. So, you know, like I said, if you want two maids of honor, if you want two best men, do it. If you, you know, don't want a flower girl or a ring bearer or you want one or not the other, do it. You know, everything else, a wedding is a blank slate. So everything else is up to you. You could add as much tradition or as little tradition as you want. And we didn't get caught up in that. You know, we did have, you know, a very traditional wedding. It was, you know, a Roman Catholic mass. We were in a church. We had a full mass. There was a lot of tradition. But there were other things that we didn't keep as tradition. You know, we didn't do a garter toss. We didn't do a bouquet toss because honestly, I don't know. I felt like skeevy having, you know, my now husband, you know, put his arms up my leg and take a garter off in front of everybody. Like to me, that made me very uncomfortable. Second of all, we didn't have any single friends. So, you know, even if we did this, who'd be out there catching it? You know, nobody. Probably like the little kids that were at our wedding, you know, which is totally inappropriate. But, you know, nobody would have caught that. So we didn't do that. And lastly was what did work for us was having everything close by and having lodging close by for our guests as well. So everything was done locally. You know, it was probably like 10 minutes from the church to our hotel. We didn't make our guests travel a long distance to get from one location to the next. And the good thing was that we also had lodging nearby also. So it made things very, very convenient for our guests. So if they wanted to stay the night, which many of them did, all they had to do was go a couple feet and they were in their hotel room. You know, all they had to do was go up an elevator and they were there. So having everything close by really makes it easy for the guests. But actually, that brings to mind something that didn't work. And that was the fact that we did have a 3-hour difference from the time we got married to the time our reception started. There was a 3-hour block of time. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, how are we going to what are we going to do for our guests to fill up this time? And eventually I just said, you know what? It's not my problem. I did all that I can. Most of our guests are from here anyway or nearby. They're all adults. They could figure it out. And honestly, they did. You know, some of my family members, you know, they had everybody gather in their room and they had, you know, some cocktails and stuff, you know, prior while they were waiting for us to arrive at the cocktail hour. Some people went home and changed. Some people just kind of drove around town to kind of look at the scenery because it was the fall and it was the Hudson Valley. And some people went for walks. So they're going to figure it out. So don't try, if you do have a big chunk of time between your ceremony and your reception, don't feel like you have to fill that void. Leave it up to your guests to figure out what to do. If you want to do something, great, but don't stress yourself out over it. So now I said I didn't want to leave with a negative. So I'm going to share one last positive thing that really did work for us. And that was to take time to be together the day of your wedding. Now, I know it almost kind of seems like weird because you're getting pictures done all day long and, you know, it's just mostly the two of you and a lot of the pictures and, you know, you're probably thinking like, of course we're going to be alone. But when I say alone, I mean away from the cameras, away from your guests, just you and your new spouse. Take time to just take a deep breath. Take a look at your surroundings. Take a look at what's going on. You know, one of the things that really worked for me was that I actually bought a camera with me on my wedding day, which I know sounds weird because we had a photographer, but I bought my own camera. And the reason why I bought my own camera was because I wanted to capture the day from my eyes, not from somebody else's lens. I wanted to capture it from my eyes. So I remember sitting at our sweetheart table while everybody was eating and taking a picture of what that looked like, because that's a shot that your photographer may or may not get. You know, I wanted to just see what that looked like and have that memory forever. You know, I wanted pictures of us in our bridal suite, you know, just us in the bridal party having cocktails and having, you know, appetizers. I wanted to capture those moments as well because your photographer is probably going to be at the cocktail hour. We were kind of separated from that. So I wanted to make sure that I captured those moments for myself. When we were getting ready, before the photographer came, I wanted to capture everybody, you know, looking at my dress for the first time. I wanted to capture, my bridal party opening their gifts. I wanted to capture us, you know, snacking on things. You know, those are things that, you know, your photographer may get, you know, depending on what time you want them to arrive. And I also asked my husband to take photos of him and his groomsmen getting ready and opening the gift that I gave him. And I took photos of us at the salon. And I mean, definitely make sure, you know, back then, I didn't have a smartphone back then, but now everybody has their phone. So, you know, if you could bring your phone, bring your phone. But definitely make sure that you capture moments of the day from your lens. So there you have it. Those are my things that did and did not work for my wedding. A personal view into my life as a bride and what worked, what didn't work. And my hope is that this encourages you, this inspires you, and this really teaches you some things, you know, maybe things that you never thought you needed to think about. You know, maybe this now makes you think about that. I would really love to hear from you as you're planning, like what's really working for you and what's not working for you. So definitely join the conversation. You could join us on Instagram at WedConnectHV and SBS Wedding Prep. And if you're specifically a Hudson Valley bride or groom getting married, make sure you check out our website at weddingconnectionshv.com. So until next time, happy planning.